National Labor Relations Board's acting general counsel filed a complaint against Boeing, saying that its opening of a second production line in order to produce some of its phenomenally successful 787 aircraft in a non-union plant in South Carolina was unlawful. According to the acting general counsel, Boeing was retaliating against its unionized workers in Seattle and the Puget Sound area that had engaged in a variety of different strikes over the last 20 years.
So does the Seattle plant close? How is it retaliation?
Well, it isn't retaliation. It isn't retaliation, Amy, for a variety of different reasons. One, the unionized workers in Seattle had no claim to the work. The collective bargaining agreement specifically gives Boeing the right to produce its aircraft anywhere it wants to. And in fact, since Boeing made the decision to open, again, this is a new plant in South Carolina, there's been an increase in the number of unionized workers back in Washington State.
So what kind of precedent is there for this kind of action?
You know, there's very, very little precedent. It's very important. The acting general counsel, when it issued its complaint, came out with a fact sheet. I read every one of the cases contained in that fact sheet, and none of those supported the complaint. Then when Boeing filed a motion to dismiss, the acting general counsel cites one case which is not analogous to this case at all. I don't want to burden you with all these facts, but it had to do with employer-owned two plants. It told one plant that it was going to give it new printing equipment, which would have resulted in increased work. But when that plant voted to become a union, it instead of giving that plant the new equipment, it gave it to the non-union plant. Well, as you can see, that's clearly different than what happened here.
We're talking with Peter Schomburg, a former chairman of the National Labor Relations Board, currently a labor consultant right here in Washington, D.C. So talk us through the process, though. How does the NLRB go about that decision-making process?
Well, the acting general counsel files a complaint. It goes to a hearing before an administrative law judge. And there's a hearing going on right now out in Seattle. The administrative law judge will issue a decision. Then the administrative law judge's decision will go to the board of the National Labor Relations Board, and they will decide whether or not the decision issued by the administrative law judge was correct or incorrect. Then the parties can take the board's decision to a United States Circuit Court of Appeals. If the administrative law judge finds in favor of the acting general counsel, it's highly likely that the current board would support the administrative law judge's decision.
And so what can happen in this case to Boeing, for example, if all the rulings go against it? Would it have to close a plant? I think it spent some considerable money building the plant already.
Well, you raise a very good point, Tom. In fact, the acting general counsel filed its complaint a full 14 months after the union complained. The likelihood of a circuit court of appeals agreeing with the agency on this issue is very, very small, because all of the Supreme Court precedent is inconsistent with what the general counsel is trying to do. What the agency is trying to do, because the agency really now is controlled by political appointees who are union partisans, they're trying to achieve something that organized labor has been trying to achieve for many, many years, and that is to try to control these kinds of structural decisions made by management, where to open a new plant, where and how to do its business. But the Supreme Court has repeatedly said that these are the kinds of decisions which are fundamentally entrepreneurial, and the board has little regulatory authority over them.
If a company does disagree with a ruling, what recourse does it have?
It'll go to a circuit court of appeals, and if it disagrees, if the circuit court of appeals in the unlikely event would define against Boeing, it would go to the Supreme Court. And again, it's highly unlikely that the courts are going to agree with the National Labor Relations Board if the board were to decide against Boeing.
Now, there's been a little politics surrounding this, unfortunately, and we don't usually discuss those on the show, but there have been allegations, I think, from the Boeing side that the White House has been directing what the NLRB is doing in this case. First of all, do we have any evidence of that? And is there any precedent for that kind of activity, if that's the case?
I have not heard those remarks actually being made by Boeing. I have heard suggestions being made in the press along those lines. I would find that highly unlikely. This is an independent agency, and I was at the board for 8 years, and my experience has been that White Houses have little contact, and they avoid having contact with a regulatory agency on an issue such as this.
Yeah, because the Labor Secretary, Hilda Solis, has said, has denied that flat out, that the White House is involved in any way in this work of the NLRB.
I think I would agree with that. Now, having said that, I don't think the White House can totally wash its hands of what's going on at the NLRB, because it was the White House that recess appointed Craig Becker, who's on the board, whose views are very consistent with the views expressed in this complaint, and the White House appointed Leif Solomon to act as acting general counsel. So I suspect the White House was well aware of the views of each of these people.